Football and fireworks, and now on a Thursday afternoon, I have to remind myself it's Thursday. It's one of those days where, wait, what day of the week is it? Oh, that's right. Up until two more hours, 404-726-0929, we're talking college football. Biggest impact, it's football and fireworks day. Biggest impact on who's going to win it all and be the eventual national champion. Is it the new 12-team playoff? Is it the new expanded conferences with all these powerhouse programs joining leagues like the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC? Well, I don't know that any powerhouse programs are joining the ACC. I take that back. Is it the fact that there are now no divisions and it's just the two best teams, which could lead you to, you know, Georgia having to play Alabama or Texas three times? And what is the biggest threat to Georgia this year in terms of winning it all? Is it this schedule could be? It is. On paper, already brutal. And then you add the playoffs into it? Whew, man. And then for the Falcons, Raheem Morris, again, not me, but the coach, has been saying, hey, Super and Bowl. And so he's like trying to speak it into existence now. And notwithstanding Jermaine's call, I kind of look at it and go, hey, you know what? I mean, if they're looking at it saying that this offense is as good as Rand, oh, it's not as good as Rand. Really? Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. I think you're really going to like Rondale Moore, by the way. An offensive line that's better than the Rams' offensive line. I think, look, understand something. I think the Falcons have one of the five best defensive lines in the NFL, and I think they have one of the two or three best offensive lines. And at the point of attack, the Falcons are really good. They're really good. So let's see how far this team can go. I mean, everybody's loving, like, for example, on the Packers, right, that they get a lot of love nationally. I look at the Packers, I look at their roster, and they're starting, and I look at the Falcons, I go, I think the Falcons are a better team. But everybody loves the Packers. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I'm not, okay. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to diss you Packers fans. You're a pretty good team. I think Falcons are better. But we'll find out, I guess. Terry was here. He had a couple of questions he wanted to bring in. And again, if you want to talk Brazen Hawks, you can. But a lot of college football, a lot of NFL are using the word Super Bowl around the Falcons. And let's talk a little bit about the race for the national title, because College Football News says 9-3 Alabama, 9-3. Hey, Terry.
Yeah, John, listen, man, I just want to get right back into this thing on the Falcons. I just think Falcons offensively are a playoff team. I believe that on paper. They are. And then offensively, they've done what they needed to do to become a playoff team. The key for Falcons going forward, when we get in the playoffs, is going to be those young defensive players. Because the Falcons, I have not had a player really on defense that opposing teams have had the game plan around in a very long time. We just don't have that one guy.
Grady.
I mean, Grady is a guy. But we need another guy on that defense that's going to team with Grady. And whoever pops, whether it's the Harrison kid, Elba Cady, the kid we got from Washington Trice, that's going to be where the Falcons' defense, when they get that guy, when their guy that they drafted on that defense line, when one of those guys emerges as that second guy to Grady, that's when the defense is going to take off. Because that's the key for the Falcons, having a defensive player that's dominant. We haven't had a guy like that. So the last thing I want to say, John, about the Hawks, it's time to start over, man. Nobody wants to see that anymore. It's time for them to trade. They tried it. What hurt the Hawks more than anything was not having Hunter. And the kid from Duke, his name slips me, the shooting guard. I can't think of his name right now. But not them guys not developing. Yes, yes. Those guys not developing really put the Hawks behind the eight ball. Trey did what he was drafted to do, be a scorer. Those guys were drafted to play defense and hit shots, and they didn't do it. And that's why this thing's got to be rebuilt. And last thing, John, I got to say this. I'm tired of you messing with my dogs. I know you're a Nebraska fan. Sound like a lot of envy, John. Sound like you want – Nebraska.
Wait,
like,
hey, hang on. No, Terry, stop. I have no envy. Why would I have envy? I've got five national titles. I've seen my team win five.
Now, Georgia, listen. The Georgia team last year was injured in the most important game and came up short.
Okay,
that's
so
basically what happened.
Okay.
But for you, all that criticism, dude, come on now. You got to be able to say. You criticizing Georgia. Like, why are you coming to Georgia like that? Come on, man.
I said
Georgia has the
Terry,
best
Did you not hear what I said? I said if there had been a 12-team playoff, I think Georgia was the best team in the nation last year. Unfortunately for them, they picked the wrong time to have the wrong game.
Yep,
and under the
correct.
Rules, under the rules, they didn't qualify.
But I'm going to go you a step further, Dunn. Georgia lost that game. Even with the injuries, they lost that game because they coached the game to lose. They didn't coach to win. They didn't take no risk.
Well, but that's not my issue. I'm not throwing shade at them. Whatever the reason, Terry, I'm not throwing shade at them. I just told you I thought they were the best team in the nation. I could make an argument that that team was better than the two national title teams. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was a 14 playoff thing. That's all. I mean, now that there's a 12 team.
I got to get to these ribs, man. Last thing, I got to say this, though. Colorado, Nebraska, when they play this year, I love that atmosphere last year because I know you're a big Nebraska guy. I grew up loving Nebraska football. I love Dr. Osborne. But what I want to ask you, who going to win that game, and when is Nebraska going to get back to being an 8-9 win team? I'm going to get off. Enjoy the fourth.
Well, I appreciate it. They could be an 8-win team this year, partly because – they've got so many players returning. They've got a huge number of starters returning. And they got Dylan Rayl is really good. And so we'll see how good they are. They got the Jamal Banks from Wake Forest transferred in. He was a star wide receiver at Wake Forest. Isaiah Nayora was a star wide receiver. They got some transfer. They're going to be an 8-win team. And if they don't beat Colorado, that'll be damn disappointing because they got them at home in Lincoln. And they owe them. So we'll see. I think this is, to the Colorado thing, this is a really critical year for Deion Sanders. Because they went through, remember he went in and he got rid of everybody, right? And he bought all these new players in. They did it again. I mean, 42 players left. 42 players left. 42 players left their team. So they have more than half their roster, including three quarters of their starting lineup, is all brand new guys again. And that's a real tough place to be in. Because by the end of the season last year, Colorado was no good. And if Deion goes out there and gets waylaid in the Big 12 again and ends up going 3-9 or something, guys and gals, this is from somebody who personally likes Deion. I mean, I've always liked him. I really, loved him as a player, not just with the Falcons, but also with the Braves. I've always enjoyed being around him. I interviewed him a ton of times. But Deion's going to get fired. And it makes me wonder if he took the wrong job. He's got a unique style that just does not fit Colorado because Colorado is not a place. Colorado's a place where you need to develop talent. And Cordell Stewart could tell you this. It's sort of like Nebraska. You have to develop talent. You can't just, you're not in the heart of where all the talent is. Okay. I mean, I like Boulder as a city. I lived in Denver for a year. I certainly understand Boulder. Been there plenty of times, seen a lot of games there. So, but I mean, it's not the local talent in Denver is not enough to supply Colorado as a national championship team. Just not. And so you got to recruit from California and Texas, and it's not local kids. And so you're picking from the second and third choices in those areas, as you know, because you're not Texas and you're not A&M and you're not USC and you're not UCLA. So, yeah, it's just a tough spot. It was like I said, oh, man, I think when he took it, I went, I think that's the wrong job. I think you'd be far better off. Because remember at the time we were talking about Auburn. I said, yeah, Auburn, that kind of makes sense. Someplace where he can recruit right in that area and he kind of speaks the language. In Denver, that's a different language. Okay. It's a different area of the country. It's not the same kind of vibe. He has no connection. They have no connection. He's a Florida State guy who played in Atlanta. I mean, that's not Denver. Denver is a very, very isolated community. Okay. That town is, when I moved to Denver, I found out real fast. They feel like they're isolated. You got the mountains, you're way away from any other major city. You're hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles from the next major city. You know, I mean, you're 800 miles from the next major city. And so you're the one big city in the whole region. And there's not a whole lot of there. I mean, beautiful area, don't get me wrong. But it's just, it's a different world, okay? That's all I'm telling you. And for those of you who don't know Boulder and Denver's like Marietta and Atlanta. Danny is with us. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, I'll try to get along this morning. I'll try not to get angry. But you personally do not think the Falcons have a chance to win the Super Bowl, first of all, right? Isn't that correct? You do not feel that way, right?
I said very clearly, I'll say it again for the 15,000th time. I think the Falcons are a ten-win team. My demand as a fan, they win the NFC South, make the playoffs, get a home playoff game, and then I come to find out that's where I'm at. That the coach went, no, I'm not there. I want Super and Bowl, and so he's been saying Super and Bowl. And my question to all of you is, are you with him on Super and Bowl? And when he says Super and Bowl, he's not talking about 3 years from now. He's talking about right now.
All right, so let me just get this. I've seen it all, John. I was born in 1959, been here since 1964, so I've seen it all. And I was angry when they drafted Penix, and I love Penix. Great kid, great quarterback, but to draft a guy like that in the first round to carry a clipboard for 3 years when there's so many needs in the secondary, and let me get this out there, and this might make you angry. They're going to lose to Pittsburgh, they're going to lose to Kansas City, and they're going to lose to Philadelphia, period. So that's how we're going to start off. So I will conclude this, John, and I mean this personally, okay? For you to be angry if the Braves don't win the World Series after all the injuries they've had is ridiculous. Have a good day.
I'm not Danny, you're the angry one, champ. I'm not angry. Didn't say I was angry. I'm not angry. You're the angry one, Danny. You have a good day. Do I sound angry, Garrett? I'm not angry. I don't think I've said anything angry. Danny sounds angry. Well, I'm angry about Penix. I'm angry about the fact that we're going to lose. I mean, the Falcons are favored to beat Pittsburgh. They're actually a better team than Pittsburgh. They ought to win the game there at home. But we'll see. I have no idea how this is going to work out. Okay? They do have a really hard start to the season. Their first five games, Pittsburgh and then Kansas City and then Philadelphia. And those Kansas City and Philadelphia games are on the road at Arrowhead and at the Link. And then they come home and have to play the Swampers and the Bucks. So I don't look at it as three games. I look at it as five. If they beat the Swampers and the Bucks, if they win their home games, Pittsburgh, Swampers, and the Bucks, and they lose to Kansas City and Philadelphia, I don't really care. If they're 3-2 and 2-0 in the division after five games, I'll be in pretty good. I'll be pretty happy. Okay? So, and I'm not. I just said I'm not so. All I said was I'm not sold yet that the Braves are going to make the playoffs. I have strong concerns. They're under 500 over their last 59 games. I need proof of life. That's all. That's why this. And again, it goes back to this series. Tonight's game against the Giants, right? Fireworks. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Phillies are here. This is where I need to see proof of life of the Atlanta Braves. Okay, that's what I need to see. That's all. It's not an angry statement. Danny, don't be so. I'm not the one's angry, Danny. You're angry. Don't be angry. It's 4th of July. Have a beer, dude. Relax. 404-726-0929. Do you agree with the coach, Super and Bowl? Because he's saying it. What's the biggest threat to Georgia to winning the national title? 12-team playoff, expanded SEC, no divisions, could have to face some team three times, their brutal schedule. If you're an Alabama fan, how does it make you feel when College Football News says you're a 9-3 team? Who's the sleeper team, too? Because there's going to be a sleeper team in the SEC. Is it A&M? Is it Missouri? Is it Auburn? Somebody that's going to exceed expectations and suddenly be in the mix. 404-726-0929. Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Illinois. Nothing says 4th of July like burgers on the grill and blowing stuff up.
I love watching the fireworks. The fireworks are just a lot of fun.
Happy 4th from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I don't know why I have the hot dog eating contest on because there's no Joey Chestnut. But the women's winner just won, and she smashed 50 of them things. 50. Actually, it'd be really kind of interesting to see, without Joey Chestnut, will the men's winner exceed 50? Because if he doesn't, then maybe this women's winner ought to try beating all the men next year. I mean, the record is 76. Garrett, if you had to, how many would you eat in 10 minutes? Because they got it. Did you see the new? Do you have it on?
I do not. I would rather probably tear my eyeballs out than watch it.
And so they have the new next gen stat, which is hot dogs per minute.
Yeah.
Dogs per minute, you know. And it's adjusting as they go along, how many ducks per minute. Anyway, if you had to, if you had to enter it, how many do you think you could actually smash?
Oh, I mean, if I entered this and I'm, like, legitimately trying to dive in and make some money off of this, I could... How long do I have? 10 minutes?
Yep.
I could get... I think I could scarf down 10 to 15. I could do 15. Like, if I'm, like, really hungry and I'm really going for it.
Yeah, somebody told me, it was Kobayashi or somebody said once that, well, I had the, the dude is the head of Major League Eating. I know. And it's so funny to interview him. And I had to, we would have him on Fox Sports because Fox was at that time tied before ESPN to this hot dog contest. And so he would come on. And so I had a chance a couple of times to interview him. I forget his name, whatever his name was. I think we actually had him on 99 The Game once too. And he I love the fact that he is so down the line and committed to his athletes. My athletes are doing, he treats them as athletes. All right, whatever, dude. But he says the way they train, and you go, how can some little dude like Kobayashi, eat so many hot dogs? Well, it's a distended stomach, and the way they get the distended stomach is apparently they prep for these events by drinking, gallons upon gallons of water to expand their stomach. I'm like, isn't that toxic too? Okay, you guys do you. So we'll see what happens without... Because Joey Chestnut today is in El Paso, Texas at Fort Bliss, and he's going to have a hot dog eating contest against a bunch of... at like 5 o'clock our time, against a bunch of guys from the Army guys. So we'll see. And then there's the big Netflix thing. Do you know about the Netflix thing coming in September? Are you aware of the showdown?
It's him versus Kobayashi.
Kobayashi, right? Yeah.
And they're going to do that, and I'm not going to watch that either.
Yeah,
it's just not my cup of tea, John. That's all it is.
It's just
revolting.
I wouldn't enter it. I entered one eating contest in my life, okay, and it was for charity, and it was a bunch of radio stations, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and it was at a Godfather's Pizza, okay. And so there's like 10 television and radio stations, and we each got like 6 people, and they bought out like 3 big pies, and they had them all, and then we had 15 minutes or something to eat as much pizza as we could possibly do, and then the winner would be a charity thing. So much money went in, and all the cameras are there and everything. It was a local thing. And so one of the dudes on our team says, he's like, I'm the expert here. He says, what you do is you take one piece of pizza, and then in each hand, and you slap them together, top to top, and then eat through them like that. That's that way, like, oh, okay, that's how you're supposed to do it here, and... So I slap away. They go. I slap one on top of the other. I start eating through it, and I'm working my through. You can't eat pizza real fast. I don't care who you are, right? At least I can't. So I'm still working my way through this first double piece of this, hamburger pizza, whatever it is. And one of the tables to my right, they're three. We're a plate. There's 3 plates. We're like a plate and a half, for all of us to start with. They're getting 3 new plates. These people have already, they've already gone through their first 3 plates, and I'm looking there, and I look at us, and we've got a plate and a half to go. We have no chance. We're like 3 minutes into this thing. I said, yeah, we got no chance. And he's like, go, go, go. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do this to my body. I'm just not. And I quit.
See, I just see it as a free meal. Like, I'm not, that's the thing. Like, you're going to do a hot dog eating contest. All right, I'm going to eat some hot dogs. I'm just going to enjoy myself. I'm not going to...
Yeah, that's what I basically did. Took one more piece and just kind of ate it.
Yeah, just kind of slowly ate it. Yeah, and it's like, people are like, oh, I could eat 15 hot dogs in 10 minutes, whatever, like I just said, and then all of a sudden you eat 15 hot dogs and people forget. It's not just the 10 minutes that you got to eat the hot dogs. You have to sit on that for the rest of the day. There's no chance you're going to feel comfortable at any point throughout the rest of the day.
Come on. You know as well as I do that these guys, like the Joey Chestnuts, they do the interview and then they run behind the somewhere. And
yes, absolutely. Yeah, of course they are. You have to get it out.
Ipecac,
you got to get it out. Because that's an absurd amount of food. That's gross.
Yeah, you got to get it out. 404-726-0929. That's not what we're talking about. I just happen to have it on. It's football and fireworks. And unlike Danny, who's all mad, I don't know why you're mad, Danny. I'm not saying Super and Bowl. The coach said Super and Bowl. And so I was just reiterating, are you with the coach that you think that this Falcons team, because I think you can make an argument that on paper, look, if you, are you the best team in the South? Yes, I think you are. Are you a 10-win team? Yes, I think you are. So if you win the South and you're a 10-win team, what does that mean? It means when you get to the playoffs, what's everybody's record? Oh, that's right, 0-0, right? Unless you get a bye, you're 0-0, right? So you're going to get a home game. Let's say they get a home game. You just have to make it. You just got to start winning your games. You know, you start winning your games and you're going to be fine. You win a game, guess what? All of a sudden you're in the division run. You win that, suddenly you're in the NFC championship. You just got to win your games and go along. Well, the NFC South, John, sucks. It's no good. You know, you can't compete with the Cowboys and the Eagles. All right, so let's go back to last year. The Cowboys and the Eagles were much better than the NFC South. Yes, they were. So what happened in the playoffs? Oh, the Cowboys and Eagles both lost, right? And the Buccaneers, who won the South, oh, they won. They went farther in the playoffs than the Cowboys and the Eagles, right? Yeah. Anybody remember that? So it's, again, 0-0 game, right? And I think he's looking at this team, Raheem is, and saying, look, this offense has the ability, notwithstanding what CBS Sports says about the, you know, the top 10 explosive offenses in the NFL, I think he's looking at it and going, you guys are missing this. We have one of the two or three best offensive lines in the NFL. Look at it this way. Let's find a comparison here. Let's say it's the Detroit Lions. Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. Offensive line. The Lions and the Falcons, the Lions, you know, with guys like Penei Sewell. Yeah, okay, are they slightly better? Maybe, but just slightly. We got Chris Lindstrom. He's best guard in the NFL. If the Lions are like the number two offensive line in the NFL, the Falcons might be number three. Then, so they're equal, almost equal on the offensive line. We'll just call them equal. Falcons are better at tight end. I think the Falcons are better at running back, or at least as a push. I think Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs, I'd rather have Bijan. Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. Well, okay, Jared Goff has, I will give him this, more of a history. And their coach blew that game last year, otherwise they would have made the Super Bowl. We all understand that. And they beat the Chiefs in the opening game. Let's not forget that either. The coach actually kind of cost them last year. Lions might have been the best team in the NFL. But if we're starting to compare them to the Lions, and we're starting to say that, do you follow where I'm going with this? I think that's what he's doing. He's looking at it going, we could compete with the Lions, and everybody thinks the Lions and the 49ers are the two best teams in the NFC. Therefore, why not? Because I think he looks at it and says, we're one of the top five teams in the NFC. We're one of the top 10 teams in the NFL, in his mind. Now, do you agree or not? 404-726-0929 on a Football and Fireworks Day. And what do you make of this? Because camps are starting. The first rookies report for a number of teams, half a dozen or more, in 12 days. 12 days, okay? Falcons report in 20 days, full camp, okay, 20 days away. And college football then begins in 51 days. And how excited are we for this season, right? You should be excited if you're a college football fan, no matter what team you're rooting for. Of all the new alliances, all the expanded conferences, all this expanded 12-team playoff, I think it's going to be really fun, really interesting, going to be a wild, great year in college football. And in the NFL, you should be excited as a Falcons fan because I think the Falcons are going to be pretty good. If they had had a quarterback last year on that team that wasn't named DoorDash, then I think you're looking at a team that probably wins 10 games, right? I think DoorDash costs us three games. And so as a result, I think this is easily a 10-win team because I think this team overall is probably better than the team of last year. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Bobby. He joins John. Happy 4th, Bobby.
Hey, you really enjoy the short. Thanks for taking my call. Briefly, I would like to say I think that some of these eating contests could fall into, stupid human tricks. I worked with a guy once that bet the room he could drink a pint of Tabasco sauce and keep it down, and he couldn't, and ended up in the ER. So, you know,
yeah,
some
I know.
Of this eating thing's pretty crazy.
I know it is crazy. It's like the old trick, Bobby, and you can run this trick on anybody. They have to start with nothing in their mouth, and you give them a piece of white bread, just a piece of white bread, like Wonder Bread or whatever, just a piece of white bread, sourdough bread, whatever, and say, you bet them $100 that they can't eat the whole thing. And swallow. You have to eat, swallow, they've got to be in a minute. You give them a minute. Oh, I can eat that piece of white bread. No, you can't, because the first two bites you take, whatever water's in your mouth, gone. You look like a cow on chud the rest of the time for the rest of the minute. Oh, It's stupid human tricks.
Well, listen, regarding the Falcons, I feel like most people are asking the wrong question. You know, we tend to look at the roster. You know, we're a quarterback away, we're a defensive end away, that sort of thing. I think that in the case of whether or not this current team is going to succeed, is going to depend upon these coaches. You know, you've got Jimmy Lake, first-time coordinator. You got Zach Robinson, first-time coordinator. Raheem, you know, he's had his time as a head coach, but hasn't really been successful. In my mind, I think we've got a roster that can certainly compete. You know, what about these coaches? I think the coaches are the thing that's unproven.
Well, sure. I'm not going to argue that the coaches are unproven. I mean, they've all got history here to some degree. I mean, Reem has been a head coach. You're correct. Interim here and, of course, head coach at Tampa. But the team he took over at Tampa, I think we could also agree, Bobby, that wasn't a very good team. You know, you just didn't have the pieces to work around at that time. It was pre-Brady and all that. And so that wasn't a very good team. And so then he went out and helped out with the Rams. Zach Robinson, a lot of people, again, first-time coordinator, no argument. Zach Robinson, they say, is ticketed for big things. You know, that he's going to be the coordinator here for a couple of years and is going to become one of the hot commodities for a head coach around the NFL. Great. You know, I mean, that could happen next year if things blow up for him, much like Kyle Shanahan, for example. So, or Steve Sarkisian, for that matter. So, yes, the coaches are unproven in the environment around the Atlanta Falcons, but there is also something to say that when Raheem Morris, who has been a head coach, who was here in 2016 as the passing game coordinator, who was the assistant head coach of the Los Angeles Rams when they won the Super Bowl, has been in two games, has a ring, knows what it takes to get a team to a Super Bowl, so he understands exactly what's involved in going to a Super Bowl. He's done it twice. And so when he looks at the team and says Super and Bowl, notwithstanding whatever we think about the coaching staff, he's looking at the staff, he's looking at the roster, he's looking at the players. When he's saying that, I don't think he's just blowing smoke. I think he believes it.
Yeah, and I would agree. Again, the intangible for me, I think, is the coaching staff. I think we've got – you take Kirk Cousins and put him behind this O-line – with these weapons, offensively, it's a no-brainer. Defensively, and I'm going to disagree with the previous caller, you know, and they say we don't have players that you have to scheme around. What about Jesse Bates? You know, I mean, there are, and the linebacker crew from last year played lights out. So, I don't know. Yes, I agree. I think this team could go deep into the playoffs. If I have a concern, it's that the coaching staff lacks, you know, maybe experience, and you get them deep into the playoffs, and, you know, they make that one critical mistake that, you know, somebody who's been there before doesn't. But I, if it's me, I say the intangible.
You mean like the coaching staff
in
2016 when he lost his playbook and he decided it'd be a good idea to just abandon the running game? That coach?
Yeah, you know, right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, listen, I appreciate you taking my call. Really enjoy the show. You guys have a great holiday.
Thanks, you too, Bobby. 404-726-0929. Quick break. It is a Football and Fireworks 4th live on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Falcons coach is saying Super and Bowl. Do you agree?
Drunk. Happy 4th from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ow! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. 4th of July, a little football and fireworks with you. Talking NFL football and a lot of different opinions on the Falcons. Their head coach is saying Super and Bowl, and I'm just wondering if he's speaking something into existence. It's not, again, not be any clearer to you. It was not my pick. I'll be happy with 10 wins in the NFC South, and the Falcons are favored to win the NFC South. Matter of fact, Super Bowl odds that are out at the moment, and the Super Bowl, how sweet, by the way, if they did do something miraculous and made a run to the Super Bowl and won it, not only would it be sweet to win the Super Bowl, but to do it there? Yeah, doing it there? Doing it? Because Super Bowl 59... Yeah, it's there. It's at the Salad Bowl. Yeah. down in New Orleans. Yep, down the swamp. Oh, that's a Salad Caesars. Oh, that's a casino. Oh, okay, never mind. MGM, another casino across the street, catty corner from where Caesars is in Vegas, has the latest odds on the Super Bowl here. Who do you think is favored to win the Super Bowl this year, Garrett Chapman, at the MGM Sportsbook?
49ers.
Yeah, they're tied with another team at 6-1.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think the Chiefs are winning third. That'd be literally unprecedented.
Yeah. Baltimore is 10-1. They're third on the board. Detroit is fourth on the board at 12-1. And again, I think that's who Raheem's looking at. He's looking at Detroit going, well, we're as good as Detroit. And then there are four teams that are tied at 14-1, including the Texans, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Bills. The four teams in the NFC South. Right now, the Panthers are the longest odds to win the Super Bowl. They're 32 and dead last at 250-1. This is MGM. 24th place, the Bucks at 80-1. 21st place, the Swampers at 66-1. And 13th place, the Falcons at 28-1. There's also something else coming out of MGM. They said a lot of money is coming in on Caleb Williams to win the MVP. No, not Rookie of the Year. The MVP. There's money coming in on Caleb Williams to win the MVP. Now, no rookie has won the MVP in the NFL since Jim Brown won it in 1957 as a running back. Of course, Jim Brown, arguably the greatest running back of all time, and the league had like 10 teams. But that's setting that aside. To win the MVP, who is betting on Caleb Williams to win the MVP? Well, somebody is. Apparently a lot of people are. So many people are that you would think that Falcons fans might be myopic talking about Super Bowl. That makes me think that Chicago fans, the Bears fans, are in another universe because of the moves they've made here in the offseason. I don't know, Garrett. I mean, could Chicago be a surprise playoff team? I guess. I mean, is it? See, the problem is we don't know. With rookie quarterbacks, you don't know. Is a rookie quarterback going to turn out have a rookie season like C.J. Stroud, or is he going to have a rookie season like Bryce Young?
Well, one important factor in this, John, is the fact that Matt Eberflus is still the head coach of the Chicago Bears. You know, I mean, that is a very important factor, you know, with the construction of a football team is who the head coach is. And I don't know. I mean, you can have the best quarterback in the NFL. And at the end of the day, it's like if you don't have a head coach, I mean, it's a very important combination there. I mean, having a quarterback is tremendous. But a rookie quarterback named Trevor Lawrence, who was by all accounts, one of the most sought after and anticipated quarterback prospects since like Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. I mean, he was getting these incredible comparisons. But then he has Urban Meyer as his head coach. And you saw what happens when you have a terrible head coach who brings you down. And I'm not saying Matt Eberflus is as bad as Urban Meyer was, but you have a coach who has a negative track record.
You can't say that. Yeah, you can't say that. I mean, you make an argument that Urban Meyer is the worst head coach in the history of the NFL.
You could. But ultimately,
as great as a coach he was at college, and he's, you know, a top 20 coach, top maybe even top 10 in college, he is that bad in NFL. He might be the worst ever.
Yeah, but the point is not Urban Meyer. The point is that rookie quarterbacks need a head coach, and they need an offensive coordinator. They need other things around them to give them success. I mean, you could talk about C.J. Stroud. I mean, C.J. Stroud did not do it by himself. I mean, he had some pretty talented players around him who were able to elevate his play. You know, I mean,
Bryce Young did not.
Exactly.
Bryce Young walked into a hornet's
He's walking into a hornet's nest up there in Chicago. I mean, Chicago is a wasteland for the quarterback position, and it has been for the last 100 years. You know, I mean, it's been a terrible place to play quarterback in the NFL. But, I mean, best of luck to him. He's a very talented young man. I hope he does well just for the sake of my football watching eyes, you know, like I want him to do well, but do I think they're going to come out and he's going to win an MVP? I mean, come on, give me a break.
404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the football and fireworks show here as we discuss football here. A couple other things I just to keep in mind here as we had, this is kind of the unofficial kickoff of the football season. You're going to have new rules that are going to impact both games. And, of course, we can talk about the new kickoff rule, which will be really intriguing to see. I'm not going to walk you through all of it, but suffice to say that there are teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, and maybe the Falcons will consider it, who are going to say, we're not letting our kicker do or our punter do kickoffs anymore. We are going to we're going to let our safety kick off and because of the new rules. And what the other, because if he goes out of the end zone now, the ball comes out to the 35, and a lot of people are saying maybe we'll just let our kicker just boom it out of the end zone and we'll just deal with a 5-yard loss because I think so many teams are really concerned about big, you know, breakouts because nobody can move except for the kicker. Nobody can move till the ball's touched, right? And so they're going to be receivers, returners who are going to be able to break. They want to bring the kickoff return back. Well, if they want to do that, they're going to have to figure out something else because I'm not sure this is going to work the way they think it's going to work. And then we have the new playoff here, and there's a problem with the playoff, okay? The one problem with the playoff is the opening round, which is the one round I'm most looking forward to in a way, Garrett, because they're going to be home games. And how much fun is it going to be to have four playoff games at home? It's going to be just insane, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the energy on those campuses is going to be truly electric. And, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, and look, we had a lot of these conversations last fall about the expanded playoffs, whether you're for it, against it, whatever. It's all a moot point now. But I was not really for it. But at the same time, I think the on-campus matchups are going to be so much fun. Like that, the energy and the excitement on those campuses is going to be palpable. And I love that for the campus. I love it for the students. I love it for the businesses around the universities. And the TV numbers are going to be great. I'm really excited for that.
So the very first round game will be December 20th on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. And then there's a tripleheader on Saturday. But the problem with the tripleheader on Saturday, noon, 4, and 8, is that the NFL's also playing playoff games that day. And they have a 1 o'clock playoff game. And they have a 4:30 playoff game that same day, opposite the two of the first-round games of the college football playoffs. So we're going to have two college football playoff games going on at the same time as two NFL playoff games are going on. You know, what if Georgia and the Falcons are playing at the same time? I mean, it could happen. And so it's like, all right, how do we solve this? Well, I came up with a way to solve it. I think college football and the NFL need to sit down because I think this is going to be a train wreck. I think they need to sit down and figure this out. The NFL, so that we're all clear, is 17 games. They're going to an 18-game schedule. Okay, they're going to 18 games. Whether you like it or not is not the point. It's what they're going to do. They're going to an 18-game schedule. So what I think they ought to do here is in going to the 18-game schedule, I think the two sides need to meet. I can mediate for them and say, in order to keep the Super Bowl at the same date here, what the NFL needs to do is move its opening week up a week, which would put it into the Labor Day weekend, which, of course, right now, as we all know, is that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that Labor Day college football weekend, right? And so the college football going, wait a minute, that's our weekend. And I'm going to say, all right, we're going to work this out because what we're going to do is that December 21st, right before Christmas opening round of the playoff, is going to become a second bye week for the NFL. So we'd have normal byes, you know, in weeks 5 through 12. And then everybody in the NFL, every team in the NFL takes that same week off. The entire NFL is off that week of the first round of the college football playoffs, which clears it out, okay? Nobody's playing in the NFL, you know? And then they're going to clear it out for college football, right? And so you clear it out for college football. I said playoff games are not playoff games. I apologize. They're regular season games in the NFL. You clear it out. And everybody just know they're not playing any NFL games that week. And then you just back up the NFL's regular season opener to the Labor Day weekend. And what you do is you give the NFL Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. So they can have their Thursday night opening game. Everybody else can play on Sunday. They can have a Sunday night NFL game and a Monday night NFL game. And you give college football Friday and Saturday clear of the NFL. And they can have a primetime game on Friday and a couple of primetime games on Saturday for week zero. Works for everybody, right? Garrett, works for everybody? Does that work for everybody? Works for me. It's the way you solve this, okay? So, Rich McKay, if you're listening, that's how you solve it. And then we're not going to have the car crash of the NFL on a Saturday in December, going up against the college football playoffs, which we don't want. And so it's going to be interesting. But here in Atlanta, we're going to win no matter what, because we get the SEC title game. I mean, think about it, we're going to have Georgia Tech play a game at Mercedes-Benz this year. Garrett?
Yes, they do, against Notre Dame.
Okay, Notre Dame, that's right. I didn't want to speak out of turn. That's what I thought. Georgia-Clemson, right? Georgia Tech, Notre Dame. Then you'll have, of course, the Celebration Bowl. And then you're going to get the SEC Championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You're going to get a quarterfinal game in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And you're going to get the national title game. How about that? First ever national title game of the 12 team? Yeah, you get all three. You get a SEC title game followed by a quarterfinal game on January 1st in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, followed by the national title game on January 20th, all at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Really cool. Coming up in a minute, talking college football, Phil Steele and I had a chance to talk, and I'm going to let you have a chance to hear that interview. What the great Phil Steele said about who the eventual national champion will be and what the biggest issues are facing college football, and he also talked about what coaches are going to have an impact, new coaches are going to have an impact, and more. That's all ahead on a Football and Fireworks kind of day on the 4th of July on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Emily, get drunk.
Happy 4th from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. 4th of July, a little Football and Fireworks with you. Talking NFL football and a lot of different opinions on the Falcons. Their head coach is saying Super Bowl, and I'm just wondering if he's speaking something into existence. It was not, again, not be any clearer to you. It was not my pick. I'll be happy with 10 wins in the NFC South, and the Falcons are favored to win the NFC South. Matter of fact, Super Bowl odds that are out at the moment, and the Super Bowl, how sweet, by the way, if they did do something miraculous and made a run to the Super Bowl and won it, not only would it be sweet to win the Super Bowl, but to do it there. Yeah, doing it there. Doing it, the Super Bowl 59. Yeah, it's there. It's at the Salad Bowl. Yeah, down in New Orleans. Yep, down the swamp. Oh, that's a Salad Caesars. Oh, that's a casino. Oh, okay, never mind. MGM, another casino across the street, catty corner from where Caesars is in Vegas, has the latest odds on the Super Bowl here. Who do you think is favored to win the Super Bowl this year, Garrett Chapman, at the MGM Sportsbook?
49ers.
Yeah, they're tied with another team at 6-1.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think the Chiefs are winning third. That'd be literally unprecedented.
Yeah. Baltimore is 10-1. They're third on the board. Detroit is fourth on the board at 12-1. And again, I think that's who Raheem's looking at. He's looking at Detroit going, well, we're as good as Detroit. And then there are four teams that are tied at 14-1, including the Texans, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Bills. The four teams in the NFC South. Right now, the Panthers are the longest odds to win the Super Bowl. They're 32 and dead last at 250-1. This is MGM. 24th place, the Bucks at 80-1. 21st place, the Swampers at 66-1. And 13th place, the Falcons at 28-1. There's also something else coming out of MGM. They said a lot of money is coming in on Caleb Williams to win the MVP. No, not Rookie of the Year. The MVP, there's money coming in on Caleb Williams to win the MVP. Now, no rookie has won the MVP in the NFL since Jim Brown won it in 1957 as a running back. Of course, Jim Brown, arguably the greatest running back of all time, and the league had like 10 teams. But that's, setting that aside, to win the MVP, who is betting on Caleb Williams to win the MVP? Well, somebody is. Apparently a lot of people are. So many people are that you would think that Falcons fans might be myopic talking about Super Bowl. That makes me think that Chicago fans, the Bears fans, are in another universe because of the moves they've made here in the offseason. I don't know, Garrett. I mean, could Chicago be a surprise playoff team? I guess. I mean, is it? See, the problem is we don't know. With rookie quarterbacks, you don't know. Is a rookie quarterback going to turn out have a rookie season like C.J. Stroud, or is he going to have a rookie season like Bryce Young?
Well, one important factor in this, John, is the fact that Matt Eberflus is still the head coach of the Chicago Bears. You know, I mean, that is a very important factor, you know, with the construction of a football team is who the head coach is. And I don't know. I mean, you can have the best quarterback in the NFL, and at the end of the day, it's like if you don't have a head coach – I mean, it's a very important combination there. I mean, having a quarterback is tremendous, but a rookie quarterback named Trevor Lawrence, who was by all accounts, one of the most sought after and anticipated quarterback prospects since like Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. I mean, he was getting these incredible comparisons, but then he has Urban Meyer as his head coach, and you saw what happens when you have a terrible head coach who brings you down. And I'm not saying Matt Eberflus is as bad as Urban Meyer was, but you have a coach who has
can't.
A negative track record.
You can't say that. Yeah, you can't say that. I mean, you make an argument that Urban Meyer is the worst head coach in the history of the NFL.
You could. But ultimately, I mean, what I'm trying
great,
to say,
and
rookie
great
quarterbacks
as
need
great
help.
As great as a coach he was at college, and he's you know a top 20 coach, top maybe even top 10 in college, he is that bad in NFL. He might be the worst ever.
Yeah, but the point is not Urban Meyer. The point is that rookie quarterbacks need a head coach and they need an offensive coordinator. They need other things around them to give them success. I mean, you can talk about C.J. Stroud. I mean, C.J. Stroud did not do it by himself. I mean, he had some pretty talented players around him who were able to elevate his play. You know, I mean, you have to
as opposed to Bryce Young, who did not. Right. Bryce Young did not.
Exactly.
Bryce Young walked into
He's walking into a hornet's nest up there in Chicago. I mean, Chicago is a wasteland for the quarterback position, and it has been for the last 100 years. You know, I mean, it's been a terrible place to play quarterback in the NFL. But, I mean, best of luck to him. He's a very talented young man. I hope he does well just for the sake of my football-watching eyes, you know? Like, I want him to do well. But do I think they're going to come out and he's going to win an MVP? I mean, come on. Give me a break.
404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the football and fireworks show here as we discuss football here. A couple other things I just to keep in mind here as we had, this is kind of the unofficial kickoff of the football season. You're going to have new rules that are going to impact both games. And, of course, we can talk about the new kickoff rule, which will be really intriguing to see. I'm not going to walk you through all of it, but suffice to say that there are teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, and maybe the Falcons will consider it, who are going to say, we're not letting our kicker do or our punter do kickoffs anymore. We are going to let our safety kick off and because of the new rules. And because if he goes out of the end zone now, the ball comes out to the 35, and a lot of people are saying, maybe we'll just let our kicker just boom it out of the end zone and we'll just deal with a five-yard loss because I think so many teams are really concerned about big – you know, breakouts, because nobody can move, except for the kicker, nobody can move till the ball's touched, right? And so they're going to be receivers, returners, who are going to be able to break. They want to bring the kickoff return back. Well, if they want to do that, they're going to have to figure out something else, because I'm not sure this is going to work the way they think it's going to work. And then we have the new playoff here, and there's a problem with the playoff, okay? The one problem with the playoff is the opening round, which is the one round I'm most looking forward to in a way, Garrett, because they're going to be home games. And how much fun is it going to be to have four playoff games at home? It's going to be just insane, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the energy on those campuses is going to be truly electric. And, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, and look, we had a lot of these conversations last fall about the expanded playoffs, whether you're for it, against it, whatever. It's all a moot point now. But I was not really for it. But at the same time, I think the on-campus matchups – are going to be so much fun. Like that, the energy and the excitement on those campuses is going to be palpable. And I love that for the campus. I love it for the students. I love it for the businesses around the universities. And the TV numbers are going to be great. I'm really excited for that.
So the very first round game will be December 20th on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. And then there's a tripleheader on Saturday. But the problem with the tripleheader on Saturday, noon, 4, and 8, is that the NFL's also playing playoff games that day. And they have a 1 o'clock playoff game, and they have a 4:30 playoff game that same day, opposite the two of the playing first round games of the college football playoffs. So we're going to have two college football playoff games going on at the same time as two NFL playoff games are going on. You know, what if Georgia and the Falcons are playing at the same time? I mean, it could happen. And so it's like, all right, how do we solve this? Well, I came up with a way to solve it. I think college football and the NFL need to sit down because I think this is going to be a train wreck. I think they need to sit down and figure this out. The NFL, so that we're all clear, is 17 games. They're going to an 18-game schedule. Okay, they're going to 18 games. Whether you like it or not is not the point. It's what they're going to do. They're going to an 18-game schedule. So what I think they ought to do here is in going to the 18-game schedule, I think the two sides need to meet. I can mediate for them and say, in order to keep the Super Bowl at the same date here, what the NFL needs to do is move its opening week up a week, which would put it into the Labor Day weekend, which, of course, right now, as we all know, is that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that Labor Day college football weekend, right? And so the college football going, wait a minute, that's our weekend. And I'm going to say, all right, we're going to work this out because what we're going to do is that December 21st, right before Christmas opening round of the playoff, is going to become a second bye week for the NFL. So we'd have normal byes, you know, in weeks 5 through 12. And then everybody in the NFL, every team in the NFL takes that same week off. The entire NFL is off that week of the first round of the college football playoffs, which clears it out, okay? Nobody's playing in the NFL, you know? And then they're going to clear it out for college football, right? And so you clear it out for college football. I said playoff games. They're not playoff games. I apologize. They're regular season games in the NFL. You clear it out, and everybody just know they're not playing any NFL games that week. And then you just back up the NFL's regular season opener to the Labor Day weekend. And what you do is you give the NFL Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. So they can have their Thursday night opening game. Everybody else can play on Sunday. They can have a Sunday night NFL game and a Monday night NFL game. And you give college football Friday and Saturday clear of the NFL, and they can have a primetime game on Friday and a couple of primetime games on Saturday for week zero. Works for everybody, right? Garrett, works for everybody? Does that work for everybody? Works for me. It's the way you solve this, okay? So, Rich McKay, if you're listening, that's how you solve it. And then we're not going to have the car crash of the NFL on a Saturday in December going up against the college football playoffs, which we don't want. And so it's going to be interesting. But here in Atlanta, we're going to win no matter what because we get the SEC title game. I mean, think about it, we're going to have Georgia Tech play a game at Mercedes-Benz this year. Garrett?
Yes, they do, against Notre Dame.
Okay, Notre Dame, that's right. I didn't want to speak out of turn. That's what I thought. Georgia-Clemson, right? Georgia Tech, Notre Dame. Then you'll have, of course, the Celebration Bowl. And then you're going to get the SEC Championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You're going to get a quarterfinal game in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And you're going to get the national title game. How about that? First ever national title game of the 12 team? Yeah, you get all three. You get a SEC title game followed by a quarterfinal game on January 1st in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, followed by the national title game on January 20th, all at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Really cool. Coming up in a minute, talking college football, Phil Steele and I had a chance to talk, and I'm going to let you have a chance to hear that interview. What the great Phil Steele said about who the eventual national champion will be and what the biggest issues are facing college football, and he also talked about what coaches are going to have an impact, new coaches are going to have an impact, and more. That's all ahead on a Football and Fireworks kind of day on the 4th of July on Sports Radio 92 on the game.